We get into it with our NFL insider. Well, good morning, Jay. What a week for the Browns. They didn't even lose.
It's amazing when you can lose the bye, huh? God love them.
Well, I mean, I say they didn't lose, but then we watched Jared Goff and Carson Wentz combine for 8 touchdowns, so maybe they did lose this week.
Well, I mean, they couldn't execute a simple trade for A.J. McCarron, which, I mean, it shouldn't have been that difficult, and it's ridiculous it got to that degree anyway, and that they would even consider to give up that much for him. But they managed to create even bigger problems in between their coaching staff and their front office in a week in which they did not play a game. So hats off to them. Browns going to Brown.
It's impressive stuff.
The Bills ripped out my heart again.
Yeah, they did.
Jeez. That was fun.
Yeah, you know, I think that, to me, it seemed like they may have believed their press clippings a little bit there. They may have kind of figured, hey, all we got to do is show up and make sure there's a football on the field, and we're going to take care of business. And it was a very un-Bills-like performance in terms of penalties and turnovers. And those were things that they had just been, look, they had the best turnover differential in the league by quite a bit. They went in plus 17. I think the next best team was like plus 8 or plus 9. And they had avoided silly sort of penalties, the kind of stuff they did under Rex Ryan. And they ended up turning the ball over a bunch. Really critical, weird fumbles. They couldn't run the ball at all, and they just didn't look like they had their legs. They didn't look like they were ready to go. But look, that's the league. It's going to happen. There are no truly dominant teams. Everybody has, everybody has some letdowns. Now they get a little bit of a long break coming off that Thursday night, and they've got to right the ship. I think they will. I mean, there's not a lot of very good teams or great teams in the AFC, and I think Buffalo will hang in that playoff picture till the end.
We see Philadelphia move to 7-1. They were favored and beat Denver. We see New Orleans win their 6th in a row. They were favored and beat Tampa. And the Rams against the lowly Giants put up 51. They were also favored. All favorites. Who impressed you the most out of those three, the Rams, the Eagles, and the Saints?
Well, I mean, my hat's off to all of them. I mean, the most impressive, I mean, the Rams, I don't know. You could make the case for any of them. I mean, the Giants stink, obviously, but the Rams had to come cross country after a bye, and they had to handle a little bit of success. And would that go to their heads? How would they react? And they came out, and that was an absolute mauling. I mean, that was a systematic beatdown from the beginning to the end. So, you know, that's pretty impressive, and they're sitting in the driver's seat in their division. I mean, the Saints were at home a little bit easier. They've obviously been riding a mojo, and Tampa stinks, but they still obliterated them and managed to mostly keep their cool on a game where Tampa did anything but keep its cool, and the Bucs were acting the fool and trying to incite melees, and it just wasn't, it wasn't professional grade. The Eagles, I mean, they're at home, too. They're playing a Denver team that, come on, they played Brock Osweiler, for God's sake. I mean, so they were going to win that game no matter what. But to be up, 44-9 at one point or whatever it was, they've been the best team in football week in and week out. They've played the most consistent football. They've played the best football. Will that maintain over the final 8 weeks? We're going to find out. But Carson Wentz certainly isn't taking a backseat to anybody in terms of his production and his consistency, and they've been an incredibly fun team to watch.
Is there a weakness on this Eagles club? I mean, they add Jay Ajayi. He looks great, averaging, I think, 9 a pop. The sophomore quarterback's been sensational. What would be the Eagles undoing, or are they just going to walk away with the NFC East?
Well, I mean, Dallas, I think, could push them a little bit. But they've built up enough collateral now that I believe they're going to win that division. They have issues, though. I mean, look, they lost their left tackle, Jason Peters, and as much as they tried to do a lot at the trade deadline, and they certainly did make one significant move, they could have used another left tackle. So, we'll see. We'll see if that manifests itself over time. Ronald Darby is supposed to come back. The secondary has been pretty good without him. But their depth is certainly a little compromised there. So we'll see, when he's back and how he plays. You know, and look, there's a lot of young guys there who, you know, who haven't really done it before, who haven't really been in this kind of situation before, starting with the quarterback. The quarterback's never blinked to this point, but they're about to play in some higher stake games than anything that they're used to, and frankly, they're like Dallas last year, a year or so ahead of schedule. And, you know, we'll see in January when you're playing quality teams week in, week out, you know, if they're up to the task.
Jason Lockenfora joins us, our NFL insider on Boomer and Warner in the morning.
Talking about some of the better teams, the not-so-good teams, Cincinnati losing again to Jacksonville, 3-5 on the year. Is this finally the end of an era in Cincinnati at the end of this year?
Yes. Yeah. He didn't get his nominal one-year contract extension that he's been getting every August for the last 3 years or so. He's playing out a contract there, and it's going poorly, and they've been trending down for a while now. And even when Mike Brown spent big money there for a period of time and they made the playoffs 4 or 5 straight years, they got zero postseason wins for it. So I don't think Marvin's going anywhere in terms of the organization. You know, I've heard consistently since before the season that there could be a role for him as a team president or in the front office if he so chooses. Now, maybe he tries to go and coach somewhere else, but I'm not sure that that would be in the cards. Yeah, they're going to have to change some directions there. And there's a lot of teams now, when you look at their bad teams, underperforming teams, and I don't even think Cincinnati's underperforming. They've just lost a lot of talent there, and they haven't drafted as well in recent years. And they're just not as good as some people thought they were. But they're sitting there with Dalton and McCarron, and what are you going to do? Because there's going to be a new coach, and there might be, you know, some changes in the front office too. And does the owner want to get a look at McCarron so that when the next coach comes in, maybe he keeps the cheaper quarterback and trades the more expensive one? Because Dalton is year to year now. And I don't think the Giants are going to discard Eli Manning anytime soon. They're stuck with him for at least another year. But do they get a look at Davis Webb just to figure out we're going to be picking in the top five? Do we need to take a quarterback or not? Tampa, I don't know that anybody survives there. Coach and GM. And they look like they're going to be picking in the top five, and they might be able to get another quarterback. Is that a situation where the next guy comes in and says, you know what, I could do without my quarterback leaving the sidelines to incite a melee for having that sort of lack of leadership and the fact that his progress is stalled and he's still a wildly inconsistent quarterback who throws a lot of balls that just have no chance of being caught? Do they say, you know what, we're going in a different direction, and maybe we trade Jameis Winston and move on, you know, in a different direction? A lot of these teams that are looking to have a bead on the top five are going to, in terms of where their draft order is going to be, are going to have some significant decisions to make. And the one that won't is San Francisco, because they already made their move, and you'll see Garoppolo at some point in the next few weeks, and they could be sitting pretty trading out of the top five for somebody else who needs a quarterback.
The other thing that's curious, they could play Garoppolo after their bye, I think it's what, week 11 or whatever, and then maybe they don't like what they see. They can move that asset and still pick a quarterback if they want to, right? They've got options there.
Well, what they could do is, if they just let him walk, they could get a compensatory pick back. They're going to sign him, though. They want to sign him. And the only way, his deal is up, so the only way that they could absolutely secure his rights, short of signing him to a big long-term deal, which is going to be the end game there, would be to franchise him. And they'd be in the same situation that New England was going to be, which is why I've been saying forever there's no way he was going to be there in New England in 2018, because the backup doesn't make more than Tom Brady. But that's what it was heading for, because he was going to force them to franchise tag him to keep him. So, and San Francisco knows this, and San Francisco, this isn't a rental. I mean, he's been groomed for this. The kid has played well in plenty of preseason games and the regular season. He's ready to go. He's bright. He's far advanced than any quarterback in this draft. There's no doubt about that, and Kyle Shanahan knows that as well as anybody. So they're going to start efforts to sign him this week, and we'll see where that goes. It'll be expensive, but that's the price of doing business at the quarterback position in the NFL. So no, I mean, but look, yeah, could he leave as a comp, you know, leave as an unrestricted free agent and then sign a big deal somewhere else, and then in 2019 they get a third or a fourth round comp pick for him? Yeah, but they gave up a, you know, what's possibly going to be the first pick of the second round for him. They didn't do that just to watch him play for a month. They did it because they think he's the best possible, you know, alternative out there right now in terms of finding a franchise quarterback.
Kansas City's lost three or four. Is there a major concern there, or is this still a team that is the best in that division?
No, it's a concern. Their defense has holes. Even when they were winning, and people would say, well, what's the problem there? I'm like, well, the secondary seems to have slipped. Marcus Peters is not the same guy. And their linebackers can't run as much as they've improved their team speed, and that's become their hallmark. It's not evident on the defensive side. And besides Justin Houston, who's really getting to the quarterback? And all that has sort of come to pass now as the sample size has expanded. So, yeah, I mean, they built the 5-game winning streak to start the season, gave them a pretty, you know, a pretty good head start, and that alone will keep them in the playoff conversation into December, even if this thing goes really bad this month. But, I would be concerned. I don't know who the other team who leaps out and catches them in that division. I still have a weird feeling about the Chargers, and I'm probably totally, totally wrong. But I feel like if they can get Bosa and Ingram to play at, you know, their maximum capacity down the stretch, that they could wreak some havoc. You know, I don't buy Oakland. I mean, they won last night, but their defense is pretty much a failure. And look, remember, Miami's the worst offense in the NFL by a long shot, worse than Cleveland, worse than Baltimore. So, you know, Oakland was not tested last night. So I don't know that anybody catches them in that division because of the lead they built up, but do I feel like the Chiefs are built for January? Not with the way their defense has played, you know, the last 4 or 5 weeks. No, I don't.
Tonight, Monday Night Football, when the schedule was made, Detroit against Green Bay looked pretty good.
Yeah.
Not as good anymore. What are you expecting from tonight?
Well, I mean, I'm interested to see with another, you know, 10 days or whatever with Hundley since we last saw him, or I guess, is it 2 weeks? Well, they had the bye last week, didn't they? I feel like Hundley hasn't played. Yeah. So what were the coaching staff able to figure out there? Are they can't just play rugby with this kid and try to have him only throw the ball 10 times. It's not going to work. So what have they opened up in the offense? Have they found plays that he really has taken to that he can immediately capitalize on? You know, how constricted is that Green Bay offense? Because Detroit's defense has been staggering and slumping for, you know, for quite some time now, since they came out of the chute in September and looked like they could, you know, win games, you know, by outscoring people. Well, that hasn't been the case recently. You know, I think Matt Stafford still has, I won't say an MVP run in him like last year, but I think he has the ability to elevate a team and to put a team on his shoulders. And we know what he's capable of in the fourth quarter. So, you know, the Lions, if they're going to get off the mat and be a factor in the postseason, they're going to have to win games like this. And, you know, we'll see. Obviously, it's not nearly as sexy of a matchup as it would have been had Aaron Rodgers been playing and had the Packers been going on what a lot of people thought would be another march to the postseason. So it's intriguing in some other ways. But, yeah, that Green Bay offense looked as bad as I've ever seen it in Hundley's first start. And there's no place to go but up from that, one would assume.